Welcome back to Fisher Link, the podcast for all things Fisher. This episode, the second full entry of Season 7, is hosted by Logan Ward. We are very fortunate to have two Ohio State grads and entrepreneurs with us today. Sam Stevens and Anne Moltakiar are both co-founders and developers of the Ticket Bay app, an OSU staple for the exchange of much-coveted football tickets. Both Stevens and Takiar graduated from OSU with bachelor's degrees in computer science and engineering. Housing the Ticket Bay applications, they've co-founded the company Salty Software prior to various other examples of their immaculate experience. We both greatly look forward to talking. Welcome, Sam and Anmol.
Thanks, Logan. Happy to be here.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, of course. Really glad you can make it. And I guess just to start off, I've seen that you both have very like a friendly response to each other, and I was kind of curious. Starting this Ticket Bay thing with a group of friends of the same major, same bachelor's degree sounds very exciting, and I imagine it'd be a great relationship building experience. So I guess, how is your relationship to one another, as friends, as peers, coworkers? How did it evolve during the inception and growth stages of this process?
Yeah, I can start us off. So Sam and I were really good friends before we built Ticket Bay. And I think what was really interesting to see for us is we went from friends to co-founders. And then the dynamic as co-founders is much different. There's a lot of problems you're trying to solve. There's kind of high stakes sometimes. And you really are just trying to make, important decisions. And you're not going to see eye to eye. And it's much different than, disagreeing with a friend over where you go to dinner. So I think, that was a really interesting part of our relationship. And I think, we both grew and evolved over time to kind of embrace that side of it. So, at work, if we had disagreements, rationally working through them, trying to get other perspectives to kind of, build Ticket Bay to where it is today. So I think, lots of learnings, lots of growth as friends and co-founders both. Sam, do you want to add on?
Yeah, I think the other thing that really changed for us was like an appreciation of our strengths and weaknesses. And I think at the start, we both thought we were the best program the world had ever seen. And like working with other people closely and learning like what I'm good at, what I'm bad at, what Amel's good at, what Amel's bad at. It was like tough, right, to accept like, oh, I'm actually not as good as I thought I was at this particular skill. But it definitely made me a better programmer and a better coworker for like applying for internships and like getting real jobs and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. Once you've kind of found yourself gravitating towards being coworkers and friends, how did the idea for your app originate? Who came up with it, and how were there, late night conversations drumming up what the idea was going to be? How was that rollout for the idea synthesized?
Yeah, I think so our freshman year was 2017, 2018 year. And in 2017, Penn State came to Ohio State to play football. And we had they were just crushing us in the student sections. It was it was brutal. I remember this Penn State fan who would not shut up about how poorly Ohio State was playing. And then in the fourth quarter, JT Barrett is possessed by football Jesus and just wins the game by one. I mean, it's one of my all-time favorite football memories at Ohio State. And Jason, so we have two other co-founders, Jason and Pranav, who are less involved now. And Jason couldn't get a ticket. He didn't buy season tickets, and there wasn't really a great way to get tickets easily, for resale. And so we're well, this was a huge problem. I can't believe you missed this fantastic experience, I think, as an Ohio State student.
Yeah. Okay, great. So it came from having one of, and then after the game, did you kind of start, conglomerating to talk about that sort of idea?
Yeah, definitely. The four of us did Hack Ohio, which is a big hackathon at Ohio State. And so we had some experience developing as a team, and we knew we'd want to do something more. I think we won Ammo's best software hack, right? Or just best.
Yeah, hack? Freshman year. Yeah. Freshman year. So we
won a prize, and we were definitely riding high off of that. And then we saw this problem. The four of us wanted to keep working, keep developing stuff. And so we're here's something we can actually work on that will be impactful. Let's do this. And then, it developed from there.
Yeah, I bet that was really, really exciting. Because I think at least a lot of students maybe in any major find themselves kind of just either so focusing solely on academics or just picking up little jobs where there's not a whole lot of autonomy, you know, like just an assistant job or just something like that. Were you guys working jobs previous to that? And, you know, was there sort of a replacement or was there an entrepreneurial stage where this was something you knew you had to kind of cut your teeth on first before it became a paying job, you know?
So I think we really didn't work on much, I think, outside of it. Like some of us might have had like small jobs on campus or things like that. But you know, we were sophomores at the time, so super early into our kind of time at Ohio State. We saw this problem that Jason was having. We wanted to solve it. You know, so for us it was super simple. Like, here's something we're dealing with. Let's make something that fixes it. And maybe other people will like it too.
Let's see. And so once you had the idea down and kind of got some momentum going, what were the initial steps you took to kickstart it? Or I guess if you were to talking to an entrepreneur now, what would you carry over in your experience from kickstarting?
The big thing for us was that Ticket Bay specifically has like a network effect, right? Like the app is not useful unless there are people selling tickets. And it's not worth it to like download the app and make an account and sell your tickets unless you know people are going to buy your ticket. And so I think once we got through the technical work of like developing an app, making it available for release, which was its own challenge, but like technical problems, Amal and I, and Pranav and Jason, we're all very good at technical problems. This like social marketing challenge of how do we get sort of the critical mass of people on here quickly enough that it's useful for our sophomore season was quite challenging. And so we spent a bunch of time like brainstorming marketing ideas and like spreading the word among our friends. And like one thing we did was we would get, you know, we'd ask people to put us in those big GroupMe chats or big SnapMe chats that were for reselling. And then anytime someone would message like, hey, I'm looking for this ticket, if I could find it on Ticket Bay, I would say, oh, it's on Ticket Bay right now. Or for whatever, like here's the link to download it. We did chalks, like we would just chalk out, you know, like you see on campus.
On the oval,
Oh, we did a big mass email actually. At the time, there's like, I think that even now, there's no way for students to email the entire student body. Like we don't have access to that mailing list. And so we asked Pranav if he could get a list of every individual student email at Ohio State. Which
It's
of course we thought
possible.
was impossible, right? We were like, oh, this isn't, but right, technical problem. We're all super technical co-founders. So Pranav, like 2 hours later, had the list. Very easy. And so then we like sent mass emails to students. And yeah, so I mean, like creative things like that to get the network effect rolling was probably the biggest challenge. And so I think identifying like similar like make or break points in your app is critical.
And what do you have anything to add?
No, I think Sam covered most of it. Like lots of marketing effort, like technically, like Sam's saying, for software engineers, for computer scientists, we weren't too worried about that, but it was really the marketing and, you know, selling people on the idea. How do you get people to use it? So that was a lot of effort. I think, yeah, like Sam mentioned, we chalked on the oval, we put up flyers in like the Thompson Library and all the libraries. So really just trying to get the app out there. But yeah.
That's very impressive, with the coming up with the mass emailing list and all that. Just getting that ball rolling outside of class sounds just very invigorating.
Definitely. No, and I think what you mentioned earlier about like having some autonomy outside of class or assistant work was like very motivating for us. It really felt like, you know, this was our thing. We were gonna have some impact, right? Like we're obviously not gonna save the world, but like it was really cool to see a project that we had worked on, like a very much a passion project, and see people get excited about it.
And do you did you were you able to get other people to kind of have that networking effect where, you know, when you're going these group chats saying, well, hey, it's available on Ticket Bay, were you able to see that kind of collateral effect of maybe catching other people starting to say that, and so were you able to see that communicative progress?
I think so, for sure. I remember a story actually. So we were in Thompson, Sam and I both, like in between classes, And we were taking the elevator down. And at this point, Ticket Bay was like something we were using, something our friends were using because we forced them to download it. But otherwise, we were trying to get it out there. We were chalking on the oval. We hadn't seen it out in the wild. But we're taking the elevator down in Thompson, and someone, like another Buckeye right in front of us, is on the app. Like they're actually searching for tickets on the app. And I think Sam and I looked over at each other and we're like, what is going on? So like a surreal moment of kind of this like network effect happening of, someone discovering the app and telling their friends, and now a stranger has it on their phone. And I think we have a lot more stories like this where like we see it out in the wild and we're like, that's really cool that, someone told you to download it, because, otherwise, like, how would you know? So I think, yeah, really quickly it kind of took off.
Yeah, that's awesome. And yeah, and it reached me, before, because Cole had initially come up with the idea to have the co-founders on the podcast. Great idea. And it had reached me, I mean, well after it already become popular, but I've heard about it because I was trying to go to a game with a friend, the Western Kentucky game last year, and it was just spur of the moment. My friend's like, hey, you want to go? And it was like a it only pulled up on Ticket Bay, and it was like a household. It was like someone looking for real estate on Zillow or something, and that was very cool. And at that point, obviously, I didn't know the co-founders, but and it worked out great. So, but that's obviously a very down the line, maybe a few years after you initially had the elevator encounter. I guess so. You mentioned technical aspects, which I'm a business student. I don't know much about programming or the technical stuff, but I guess what are the insights into the programming or the technical aspects? How do you recommend approaching them? Just get both of your opinions on those things.
Sure. I can talk a little bit about like the programming process. And then I guess Sam and I can both comment on how to approach it. So Ticket Bay is two things. It's a mobile app that, everyone kind of uses on iOS and Android. And then getting a bit technical with it, like the back end, we wrote it with React Native, which is a Facebook technology, which basically lets us write the code once and then just immediately run it on iOS and Android. Which is super useful if you're a small team of four and you want to do both really quickly. And then we have some servers that kind of host the data and, the tickets and set up all the transactions. And so we use Node.js, Express, and SQL, and these are, like pretty standard server tech. So that's kind of like the technical side of it. Sam said, we're four like computer science students, so we were really passionate about kind of the programming side of it. But for anyone approaching it now, I think there are so many good resources out there. Even if you're a, a computer science student or not, there are such good resources out there, and especially with like things like ChatGPT, I think getting into programming is becoming easier and easier, and it's more, doable for everyone. So my only advice would be just, figure out something you're interested in and just get started. Like the documentation is super good out there, and ChatGPT can kind of guide the way, but getting started shouldn't be crazy. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Dan, do you want to add anything on?
Yeah, I mean, I would just say if you have a passion, like if you're really driven to get through this, you absolutely can. And I think recognizing that like it is hard and you will struggle and like these are super normal feelings. I think it can be hard, especially on the internet, to see people like, oh, I built this no code app, or like I taught myself to program in 10 days. Like it's neat that people can post that, but like recognizing that it's hard and it's a lifelong learning experience, I think will make it easier for people not comfortable in programming to feel more comfortable programming.
Okay. Yeah, kind of depicting that longer process.
I mean, right, like I was just reading about the montage effect where like, you see Rocky in the montage and he runs up the stairs like four times and he punches whatever the bag six times and then he's like a champion. And like it might feel like that when you look back, but when you're in the middle of it, like you're just gonna spend hours and hours like learning and thinking and being upset and dealing with it. And I think like seeing friends learn to code now, I mentor a couple, I'm on the water polo team at Ohio State. So I mentor a couple younger guys, just like they're computer science or like data science undergrads. And seeing them struggle now, like, yeah, man, you're gonna struggle. But this process of like seeing errors and Googling things and not getting results and Googling and not, and like just back and forth in this digging, like is what gives you confidence that you can do it again. And so like when something breaks and your teacher is not going to give you the answer, like you can just figure it out.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that sounds very promising, the self-sufficiency of it.
Yeah. And I
And
think
that kind of
like
goes
just
good.
oh sorry.
Oh no, sorry, you go ahead, please.
I was gonna say, I think like, you know, for us, like the programming is where we were really excited about this kind of iterative process. But if you look at like the business and the marketing side that Sam and I just were talking about, right? That is more unknown to us. Like we're not business students or, you know, so like I think for us it was just like throughout anything in the process, like there are challenges along the way. Like we had to learn how to do the marketing and set up the legal side of things, right? And those were really difficult for us. Like they were like we didn't know where to get started. Like how do you even approach this? Something that, you know, like a business student maybe would be like, yeah, it's not that bad. So I think whatever it is, right, programming or business or marketing, just kind of embracing this iterative process of like, we're gonna get it wrong and then we're gonna get it wrong again, then maybe eventually we'll get it right. And I think what Sam says totally applies. And, you know, it's not just programming, it's kind of everything, right? Whatever you're not strong at.
Yeah. Did you ever reach out to the business school or add a business class to your next semester, and that sort of thing? Like, how do you approach that, as an outsider coming into the necessity of business?
Yeah, so I was a business minor, but I believe Sam and I, Jason Pranav as well, back at the time, we all reached out to like any professors we knew, like in the business school, in marketing. We reached out to a bunch of advisors on campus. So we had like a friend of ours, a professor at Ohio State, Arnab Nandi, who was like helping us out here and there and helping us get connected. We were talking to Tim Radishore, who's part of the Innovation Studio at the College of Nursing. And so, yeah, really just leveraging, you know, all of these networks and people at Ohio State. Because like I said, like we, you know, are not experts on the business or the other stuff, but there are people at Ohio State who are. So yeah, definitely just, I threw some classes on my calendar, but otherwise, yeah, we just kind of emailed everyone and hoped someone would respond. So,
Yeah, the perks of
yeah.
going to a big university.
No, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And you get emails back. So it was really nice.
Yeah. So, Sam, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna say, like, very much like the perks of going to a big university. Like, everyone here wants you to succeed, and most people are willing to give you a 30-minute call or a 30-minute chat in person. So many people go into academia to mentor. Like, mentoring tends to be like a very big positive for a lot of professors, and so like they want to help you, they want to talk about your problems with you. Not leveraging that, I think, is one of the biggest mistakes you can make if you're thinking about starting a business. I think if you're a student at Ohio State and you think you want to start a business 10 years down the line, you should start one now and accept that you're not going to make any money, and learn a bunch of lessons in this very like safe environment, right? You have 60,000 students that you can potentially sell something to. Well, not really sell, it probably has to be free, but like you have a customer base, right? Like you can iterate and develop and use these resources. And so to not take advantage of being at a student at Ohio State, I think, is a huge mistake if you want to be an entrepreneur in the future.
The success of your app, did it impact your status or reputation within the campus community? I mean, I feel like having this kind of dual identity of an entrepreneur and a student, do people kind of perceive you differently, your status, your reputation?
No. I mean,
No.
like our friends, would tease us, right? Like, 'cause we're always like, oh man, can you check if the app's working? Can you check if the app's working? Or, it's a Thursday night and they want to go out, and like we know we've got a game on Saturday, and so we've got to fix some bug that just showed up. The not I would say not positively, right? But not negatively, right? Like, your friends are your friends. Like, they're gonna
Yeah.
give you crap whenever they feel like it. I will say, coming back for grad school, there have been a couple times where I've said to people like, oh, you can use TicketBay or whatever. Like, it's an app I made. And people will be like, oh, you made TicketBay? That's really cool. But like when we were still in undergrad, there was not a lot of that for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it was still earlier it was kind of an earlier stage.
Yeah. And I just, as like a senior, I didn't know a lot of, like, I didn't meet a lot of undergrads who didn't already know about TicketBay. Like, I
Yeah.
was on the water polo team, right? And so like every year the younger kids would have to hear me plug TicketBay. And so they like would hear about it from me first. And then like in grad school, everyone else graduated. We got less aggressive about marketing. It feels a little self-sustaining at this point. And so like, you know, now I'm on the powerlifting team. And like those guys, I didn't like send a mass text, like everyone should download TicketBay, right? So like, it's just like, I guess going from like a very active marketing position of like, everyone I know is going to know that I'm the TicketBay guy because they're going to learn about TicketBay versus not caring as much. And then when they find out, it's like a fun little fact.
Okay. Yeah. And yeah, we've covered that. I mean, cause I'm a second year and so I'm doing like the principles of marketing and things like that. And we've covered that kind of the product development where it starts to reach that growth and maturity phase. And you find that to be maybe a relieving thing once you find that it's a little bit self-sustaining. It looks like Emma looks very relieved.
Yeah. I think we were really happy when the app kind of just, you know, sustained itself. Cause like I said, we were like definitely struggling with the marketing side of it. Like, coming up with the most creative ideas we could. But yeah, I think it hit this nice point where instead of us having to sell people on the app, your friend would just tell you to download it, which is so much easier. And so we started to have, you know, this word of mouth that kind of just took off. And I think we still have it, right? Like upperclassmen, your friends telling friends to download TicketBay. And I think it was relieving because, you know, something we've seen, I think, you know, college football ticketing apps are kind of this like, super classic computer science like idea. Like a lot of like, I think our freshman year, a lot of people were like kind of talking about it and then no one kind of does it. Just to have like an app that grows by word of mouth and like, you know, I've graduated, Sam's graduated back for like PhD and stuff, but just to not be on campus and to have the app kind of live and sustain itself is super rewarding. And it's nice that people still, you know, use and get value out of the thing we built like 4 or 5 years ago. So,
yeah, definitely.
Really relieved.
And was the Salty software, was that formed around TicketBay, like as an LLC, or how does that sort of work, making a conglomerate?
Yeah, so Salty software is an LLC that kind of just we've formed around the TicketBay idea. And that's kind of where I was talking about like the legal earlier, like we reached out to some connections on campus, you know, the four of us formed an LLC. And so, yeah, that was kind of the process there. So Salty software is very much TicketBay, or any idea the four of us would have, but, at least right now, just TicketBay.
Okay. Have you ever thought about getting your game back together and coming up with a second product? No pressure.
Not really. I think if there was another problem that kind of came up that the four of us were feeling, maybe even something like OSU related, we'd jump back into it, but nothing yet. Sam, is that true? Keep me honest.
Yeah, I think for me, getting that like that feeling of autonomy, like I'm very satisfied by my PhD right now for that autonomy. And so there's less desire to like start a business in a sense.
Yeah,
definitely. That makes a lot of sense to me. So I guess on that note, can you share any later adventures that you were involved in, and you know, the departure from TicketBay? How has it launched you into these other adventures? I'd just love to hear.
So we did a lot of like hackathons. There was an opportunity. I would say it's played a huge role in getting internships. Having this like very complete project, working with other students, you know, taking an idea from start to finish looks really great on our resume, which helps a lot getting internships. And then it also gave me a lot of like technical confidence. And so like the idea that sort of whatever problem you threw at me, I'd be able to solve. And that led me towards research. Like I said, sort of that desire for autonomy. I did some research with a professor in undergrad and then really enjoyed that and has moved into grad school. But yeah, I would say overall, it made me a better software engineer, made me a better communicator. You know, it led to a lot of future sort of goals for me, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. Animal?
Yeah, I think, you know, pretty much the same for me. Like lots of learnings made me a better software engineer, a better like communicator, collaborator. And so, yeah, after, you know, Salty Software, TicketBay, graduated Ohio State. I work at Microsoft now. As a software engineer. And yeah, like a lot of the skills and things that I've developed, I can kind of, you know, trace back in some ways to TicketBay. And like maintaining the app. Like Sam and I both right now maintain Ticket Bay. And I think what we've learned, like every time we work on it, we look at ourselves and are like, who did this? And it was us, like, a year ago. And so I think it's just been that like Ticket Bay has just helped us a lot in our craft as software engineers. And I think for Sam that applies to his research and his PhD. For me, that applies to my time at Microsoft and what I do there. But yeah, I think all around Ticket Bay was super great for both of us.
Yeah, definitely. And do you think I guess the way to pose this question for two different outcomes would be I guess for Animal, do you think entering a private, company as large as Microsoft, do you think that switch from entrepreneurial autonomy to being a larger corporation, does that how has that been, that transition? And for Sam, how would the transition back into academia for your PhD lend itself? Because obviously we know academia kind of varies in how autonomous it can be. So I guess to split that question two ways, I start with Animal.
Yeah, so I think I think it really depends on kind of what team you're on, and there's a lot more within Microsoft, like depending on the team and the environment you're in. I think that can have a really big factor on like autonomy and all of these things. I work on Office right now, which is a really cool place to be with what's happening in Sam's part of the world with AI and these like large language models. So it's super cool to be like kind of on the ground floor of like Microsoft Copilot and like putting it into Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. So for me, I think from Ticket Bay to now, I think Sam liked the autonomy. For me, I really like the like technical challenge. Ticket Bay was a really interesting technical challenge to like how do you like even build an app? How do you build a server? Like how do you do these things? And so for me, that's like what I loved about Ticket Bay. That's why I love maintaining it now. It's just like trying to make the app better for everyone, right? And I think for me, a lot of those skills and things apply really easily to Microsoft, where I'm building things for a lot of other people as well. And so for me, that's the one piece I really liked. And so I think it translates, pretty well.
Definitely.
Yeah, Amwell, I
Sam.
would say like you're actually like a the impact. I remember you talking about internships at Microsoft and being excited that like you were writing code that whatever 10 million
Impacts
people.
people.
Yeah, right? Like the technical, I think we both appreciate a technical challenge. Like it's a puzzle to figure out. But
But the impact
yeah, the
is,
impact has always been what you've mentioned to me.
yeah, and I think that's true. Like Ticket Bay, seeing the impact on campus, and then now I think what I'm calling out with putting Copilot into products, it's that impact. And so yeah, I think Ticket Bay to Microsoft, chasing the impact and the technical challenge is yeah, where I've been at.
Yeah, that's
Good
great.
call, Sam. Good call.
And Sam, how would you say the transition back into this sort of collective PhD courses and working with professors, how has that been transitioning from that entrepreneurial growth phase, startup phase?
It's been good, honestly. I would say something I learned was that a lot of professors who are research focused will they I mean they're running their lab like a business, right? They're applying to grants and then they're getting some money. And then it's like, how am I going to spend that money in a way that will sort of maximize my research output because that will enable me to get better grants? And should I be hiring students? Should I be, we're a very like compute bound area right now. So like, should we be buying bigger supercomputers? Like, how can I leverage these resources to keep my lab alive? And so seeing my advisor do that, definitely like having the entrepreneurial background helped me understand his mindset, and understanding where he's coming from makes it easier for me to do my job. And then I think the autonomy, like in general, if you are running your own app with some friends, when something goes wrong, no one else is going to fix it, right? Like you have to be the one. And so just like having trained myself to have that, like, okay, problem, I'm gonna fix it. Like this very can do, very like take ownership has been fantastic in research. We do a lot of great group projects, and something you'll hear a lot in research is like, who's the first author? And they're sort of like, it's their paper in a sense, it's their project. And recognizing, I think, to me, that if you're first author, like all of the failure lies on your shoulders. So if something goes wrong, if there's a mistake in the data, if there's poor analysis, like that's on you. And either you have to be comfortable delegating and saying like, okay, Amo, I need you to redo this analysis because there's this mistake, or you have to be comfortable owning that yourself and redoing it yourself. which I think is really similar to ticket pay, right? Like things would go wrong and it was either, Amel, do you have time to do this? I need you to do this. Or like, okay, I'm going to do this. And same thing for Amel, right? Like, you know, Amel would find bugs and Amel finds bugs now and messages me like, can you work on this? And I'll say either, no, I have no time. I'm in a PhD or like, yeah, you know, this is still important to me. But I think very much like being willing to take ownership of problems is a skill that's been super useful in my PhD.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds like a great way to connect. And the fact that you can both connect in, you know, at least one way, one big way to what you're doing now, it just seems really great. And I guess that takes me to the last question I'll ask for a day. And we have about 5 minutes left. So I guess I'll ask, what are your plans for the future? You know, continuing down the private pathway or once you graduate with your PhD, I'd just love to hear about what your plans for the future are.
What do you got, Amel? What are you doing the next couple of years, buddy?
So I'm at Microsoft for the foreseeable future. You know, I think I'm involved in like Ticket Bay, like maintaining it. I think that's, you know, still exciting. It's like a passion project, like Sam and I have been talking about. So, you know, definitely we'll spend some time on that. But yeah, at Microsoft for the foreseeable future, you know, we'll see where the road takes me. You know, I still feel like I'm pretty big in like open source and just like helping like the open source like software community. So there's lots of things kind of, you know, scattered around. But yeah, Ticket Bay, maintaining the app, keeping it up and running, which is some days harder than most. And then yeah, Microsoft, that's what's up for me.
Yeah. That sounds great. Sam?
I would say like obviously focused on research for the next couple of years while I graduate. Afterwards, there's obviously a lot going on with AI right now. And so I think a big question for me is whether it's going to be a more research oriented like postdoc or a professor role or something more product focused, where like how can I take sort of this deep technical knowledge and then leverage that into something valuable, something useful for customers. I would definitely be open to a startup. I think one of the biggest things for me is finding people you're happy to work with. Seeing, you know, Jason Pranav, Amel, my girlfriend, some other friends, like hearing about their experience in big corporations and not liking the people they work with is like a real, that's like makes me really sad, right? I think like working on a team that you enjoy is probably the highlight of Ticket Bay. It's like working with friends. And so I think to me, a startup with a bunch of friends sounds like the most fun and potentially the most profitable, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's nice that you're able to get that early experience of what kind of team you do or don't like. Because the second year, I mean, I think like, you know, because then I grew up like working some retail and things like that. And so I think you start seeing some of those social dynamics that you do or don't like. But I think a lot of times, I mean, I don't think you could necessarily put pen to paper and write down as an underclassman what kind of team you're going to be best in. And so I think that early experience, obviously, it's carried over. And so that sounds great. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I would say like, working in retail, you're starting to get a piece of it. And I think also like group projects at school, right? You get a piece of that. But until you have something where everyone is really willing to put something on the line, right? Like working on Ticket Bay, we're like turning down some social opportunities to work on the code. We all have a ton of pride in the product we're making. And so like learning how to detach like this pride of, oh, I like Ticket Bay as a whole and I want it to do well from, I made this particular screen look this way, and now one of my friends, my co-founders, is telling me it looks bad. Like, that can be really hard. And so, like, I think it's also working on something where you learn to detach, like, self-worth from the quality of your work is super important. It's something I'm still working on. But I think really the step from, like, a group project or a job that you're doing for a paycheck versus something where you're like really putting some soul and some like self pride into, you learn a lot more in that second area, the latter.
Yeah, definitely. We'll close out here unless either of you have anything to add.
I think I think Sam and I spoke a lot about, you know, the network, the Ohio State network. Mm-hmm. So we're more than happy for like, you know, to talk to you today. And you know, if listeners want to reach out to us, they definitely can. And you know, Sam and I would be more than happy to, like we said, hop on a 30-minute call and talk about our time with Ticket Bay and Salty Software. So, you know, we're Buckeyes. We're always here to help other Buckeyes. So go Bucks.
Definitely, definitely. I really appreciate it. Yeah, and just yeah, just the speaks to the character of the network, and to you both individually, just the ability to come on and pursue that. And so yeah, this was definitely a great opportunity. And so I thank you both for coming on today.
No, thanks for having us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for
Of
having us,
course.
Logan.
Thank you.